Support made possible by Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic's annual series of crop insurance and grain marketing meetings are currently underway across the Midwest. Go to www.sfarmmarketing.com. to register for a meeting near you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the sixth day of February 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will be here to discuss the cash grain situation. We'll talk with an organic farmer from the Peace Valley up, well, near Alaska, where he has to deal with sunlight almost all day long and a really short growing season. And then we'll take up the weather forecast, too, with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, March corn today at 379 1/4, down a penny and a half. The May futures at 384 1/2, down 2 cents. July at 388, down 3. And December of next year at 389 3/4, down 2 3/4 cents. Soybeans March contract up a penny at $8.81. May at 894 3/4, 1 1/4 higher. July 907 3/4, up a half. And next year's November beans down a quarter at 920. January 2021 at $9.25 1/2, 3/4 cents. Lower. The bean oil futures 8 cents lower at 31.24. The bean meal up 80 cents for the day. It finished at 288.20. Wheat futures were down 5 3/4 at 556 1/4. Live cattle futures up 37 1/2 cents in the April at 119.75. Feeders 32 1/2 at higher at 137.57 1/2 in the April. And lean hogs for the April at $64.87 1/2, up the $3 limit. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at this marketplace and discuss what happened today. Thanks so much, Dan, for being with us. Looking forward, by the way, to having you on Commodity Week this afternoon when we record about 3 o'clock today.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the other panel members have to say about the market. I think today, work we have, you'd have to sum up the word as maybe consolidation. We've had some pretty big hits in the markets over the past couple of weeks, and the last week here has been kind of recovering off of an oversold technical condition. Not a lot of news around. I mean, today's export sales, I thought, were generally positive. But the coronavirus and uncertainties with China hang over the market still as a negative influence. And then, of course, there was a lot of discussion in today's market about what USDA may or may not do on their supply-demand estimates here in the February report. What we did understand is there's probably not any kind of demand changes that may reflect the new trade deals, USMCA or whatever. I hate all these initials. It's hard for me to remember them all. But let's say the old NAFTA agreement or the new NAFTA agreement. So it kind of looks like the demand numbers may stay somewhat stable or not really be positive. And if it's not positive, the trade will view it as somewhat negative. That's just the way the trade is. I'm not, it's going to make a lot of difference. We'll just have to see. The big thing I think everybody will probably be watching is the Ag Outlook Conference that's coming up here in a couple weeks or so. That'll have a lot of, different presentations by different speakers, by USDA people, by outside. Get some kind of idea of what the trade's actually looking at, and then they'll kind of settle in on some kind of number, and then we'll kind of go from there. But I mean, the new growing season is just around the corner. I mean, it's actually begun down here in the valley. They are planting corn as far north now as Corpus Christi, and it is. It was 40 degrees here almost, within 5 miles of the Mexican border here this morning. And I understand, talking to my relatives in Waco, it's 30 degrees. So if it's that cold in Texas, you guys must be really chilly, or maybe you're not. Maybe just a few degrees cooler. But yeah, we're at the point here, you know, once we get into February, Texas kind of gets real springy, active, and they're going to start planting.
Indeed. So I'll recap a couple of things because our connection is not as good as I'd like it to be. But very quickly, Reuters had a report this morning, as you pointed to, Dan, that said USDA, the headline read, not quite correct, but USDA will include, it will include, and they have said this publicly already, phase one information in February, but because they don't know very much about what is actually included in the deal, they don't expect it to have much impact. Rob Johansson, who's the chief ag economist at USDA, making that statement in itself, I thought was fairly interesting, because they generally don't say anything about an upcoming event other than, yes, it will include the current policies. USMCA has been passed, though. I have not seen yet that Canada actually passed it. I know I checked a couple times last week. They haven't passed that one into law in Canada yet, and I don't recall seeing it actually being done, so we'll see how that goes. It won't be put into that February WASDE figure at this point. So there are lots of numbers that we have to work through, and I'm kind of looking forward. I'm going to let you go just because our connection's not that great, but I'm going to look forward to having a discussion with you and Bill Biederman and Aaron Curtis this afternoon about all of these things during our Commodity Week program, and we'll get that up on the website tonight at Will Ag. I think maybe any final word from you before I let you go for the day? I don't know how well our connection is staying put.
Cyclically, I'd have to kind of think that the market is going to stay generally defensive for a while, but I'm still optimistic as we go on into the last half of the calendar year.
Hey, thanks so much, Dan. We'll talk to you in about 45 minutes or so.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. By the way, Dan will be one of 16 analysts that join us at the All Day Ag Outlook over the Beef House on the third day of March. You can do that right now by getting your ticket. The cost is just $30, really cheap, because you get 16 analysts. We'll have coffee and rolls for you in the morning, a Beef House lunch, and we'll finish up in that 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon time frame. So should be a great day over at the Beef House. Buy your tickets online right now at willag.org and see the full details of the All Day Ag Outlook. This week, I've been talking with producers attending the Land Connections Organic Grain Conference taking place on campus at the I Hotel. Edwin Wheeler was there. He's from the Peace Valley, which is way up north, just about 2,000 miles north of Champaign, Urbana in Canada, up where the sun doesn't really set overnight and the summers are really short. I caught up with him and asked him exactly what kind of crops it is that he grows.
Well, basically, we have pretty short growing season, but it's really long days. It hardly gets dark during the summer, and we generally start planting in May. Harvest is late August, September. And yeah, we grow a lot of organic crops, wheat, oats, barley, yellow peas, cover crops for seed, I guess, alfalfa and clover. And it's kind of a secluded place. A lot of diseases and are kept out because it's totally secluded.
So I have a couple quick other questions about this. There are something like 100,000 acres or thereabouts in that area that are farmed. You raise a whole series of crops, but do you really have a market for it? How far does it have to go?
That's a good question. My dad got into organics for the reason being so far north. We were raising crops that weren't worth to haul that far out, you know, because not having end users there. So we got into organics back in the 90s, and a lot of it gets processed in the U.S., actually. It gets hauled or out by rail or by truck. close to the U.S. border and then gets transported to other countries.
Farmers here would be worried about both not getting into the field because it doesn't get warm enough, and on the other end, losing a crop because of cold weather that far north. But I'm going to guess that that's less of a problem maybe than we're thinking.
Yeah, basically we have a pretty consistent weather pattern, I guess. The snow is generally melted by the end of April, and it's all dry land, so, and our rainfall isn't a whole lot. We can grow a decent crop on like 7-8 inches of rain throughout the summer if it comes at the right time. I think our average rainfall last summer was around 10 inches, so yeah, it's a short season.
It's a short season, long days. How does that change the crop from what you hear from other producers raising the same crop? What does it do that's different? Because that crop's got to be actively growing for a really long day, time during the day, very little in the way of rest overnight.
Right, yeah. We're actually well known for growing really good quality milling oats, high test weights, up to 48 pounds in a bushel. Before they're cleaned, and as well as wheat, good milling wheat, high protein. And I guess it does have something to do with the longer days, and I guess the cool nights is what makes the good oats.
Why did you come all the way to Illinois for an organic grains conference?
Actually, my wife is an American, and she's from the Tennessee, state of Tennessee, so I came down with the family, and she's with her sisters, and mom, and I'm out here just networking, I guess.
And what are you finding out, if anything, so far? And we're not very far into the conference as you and I talk.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of similarities in the way things are done that I've been hearing here, and it's just interesting to see how the different crops, I guess. But as far as the organic certification and stuff, it was similar to what we're used to.
Does the amount of farmland, because you drove all the way down, does that surprise you? Does the vastness of it seem odd to you? Maybe not. I'm trying to get a grasp on if you travel through all these millions of acres of farmland coming from the Peace Valley, what that transition feels like.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's exact opposite. I drove through 4 hours of just woods, trees, basically nothing, like no gas stations, anything, and you get down here and it's just farmland, and there's seed dealers every few miles. You see a lot of elevators, which we're not familiar with seeing. We haul a lot of our grain. It gets hauled quite a ways, anywhere from 300 to 800 miles.
Well, thank you so much for coming, and I hope only the best of success for you, because I can't imagine being so far north and trying to farm. It has to be so unique, and it just has to be really special to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, it's definitely something different, and it's good to get away from there this time of year, too.
Edwin Wheeler is a farmer, an organic farmer from the Peace Valley, which is about 2,000 miles north of the Urbana-Champaign campus.
It's a Thursday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. We're now joined by Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to take a look at the forecast right here in the Midwest. I think I want to start because we do have some rainfall, sleet, snow, but enough, I think, that it may cause some problems across the nation. Can you give me some insight?
Well, we do have a rain system that's moving across the eastern U.S., and that'll produce some heavy snowfall in parts of the northeast. But this system is pretty much east of the Corn Belt at the moment, and it's not going to become much of an event for us anymore. We do have another system that moves through on Sunday across the northern Corn Belt, and that will dump a little bit of snow on South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and then northern areas of Illinois and Iowa, but not too big of an event, just a relatively small snow system. The more important thing that comes up is taking place about a week from now. We'll see a fairly large system move through over the course of Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. there's still a lot of uncertainty regarding exactly where this system is going to line up. But no matter how we look at it, we keep on coming to the conclusion that we'll see significant rainfall in parts of Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and then southern areas of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Now, this is an area that already saw some decent rainfall earlier in the week. And if we add some more rain on top of them next week, and then we're still looking for more systems behind that, we need to keep that in mind. By the time we get into the end of February, it's going to be looking pretty well wet in these southern areas, especially southern soybean areas, then also where soft red winter wheat is currently in the ground and waiting for the spring to arrive. So we're kind of starting out wet again this spring, at least in the southern areas, and it won't be completely dry to the north either.
Speaking of southern, let's turn our attention to South America. What are conditions on the ground like in Argentina?
Well, Argentina saw rainfall over the last several days. We saw a couple of heavy thunderstorms move through parts of Buenos Aires, Cordoba, and then nearby areas of La Pampa and Santa Fe. That's part of the key corn and soybean growing region, and they did see some decent rainfall earlier in the week. Now, there will be a little more rain over the next couple of days, but the way it looked a couple of days ago, we thought they were going to see a pretty big washout of rainfall this week, and they did see some decent totals, but what ended up happening is that we saw a lot of cloudiness from the initial thunderstorms that formed earlier in the week that stabilized the atmosphere a little bit more than expected, and that's not allowed the new thunderstorms that are developing today to develop into a very big cluster. And so essentially they'll end up with decent rainfall, but maybe not a total washout. And some of these areas had turned pretty dry over the last couple of weeks. But still, in the end, they're seeing a little bit of rain. There's a little bit of rain on the horizon over the next couple of days. And we can see that another system will move through in 7 to 10 days from now and bring some additional rain. Now let's just forget about all that for a moment and pretend it didn't rain very much at all. If that were to happen, it doesn't matter all that much because it's going to be so cool over the next week. Highs only in the 70s and 80s, which is about 5 to 10 degrees below normal for them. So there's just not a lot of concern in Argentina at the moment.
And in Brazil?
Well, Brazil has been dry through most of the growing season, and they're now harvesting soybeans in the northern areas. And those northern areas are starting to get some pretty big rains. It's rained a lot over the last 5 to 6 days, and it's continuing as we speak today, and that will continue over the next week or so as well. That will slow down soybean harvesting a little bit over the next week. Then it dries out a little bit over the following week, so that will allow soybean harvesting to pick back up, and that will also allow second crop corn planting to resume later on, say about a week to 10 days from now. So all in all, not a whole lot of excitement in Brazil at the moment either.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, great chatting.
That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can always find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here. He's with agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Matt. Are you traveling today or in the home office?
No, I'm actually in the office, so I know that's kind of crazy, but I'm in the office today.
I don't remember the last time I actually talked to you when you were in the home office. I bet you're feeling pretty good about that. You're trying to keep track of what's been happening in the marketplace. Tell me about what you've been seeing.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously today was just kind of a rough day. You know, it looks like the bean market is maybe kind of forging the quarter intermediate term low anyway. But as far as the corn market goes, no one seems real interested in buying corn. So I think there's a lot of folks scratching their heads wondering if China's going to try to back out, you know, of a portion of this phase one deal. I think everyone's been a little skeptical from the get-go, but especially when you start talking about, you know, the rhetoric we've seen the last couple of days due to coronavirus, it makes people a little skittish. So obviously, I think some of the money has decided that they want to kind of hold off for the time being as far as buying corn and even wheat.
What does that tell you about all those basis contracts that are coming due within the next, I don't know, 15 days or so?
Yeah, I mean, that's concerning for sure. You know, we've been telling folks to be to know what their game plan is here, you know, whether they want to go ahead and roll out of those or go into the May. The thing that I've said for a long time is I think flat cash corn is probably going to remain of a in a supportive fashion, but you got to be careful to assume that's going to futures. It's probably more likely that you'll see basis, as we go through this marketing year, actually be pretty solid, especially if you've got good quality corn. I think if you got good quality corn mid to late summer, it could be worth a lot of money, but especially if we have a late spring, I think you could almost name your own price. The problem is going to be keeping that corn in good shape. So, I just don't look for a huge futures rally unless we have something happen that we're not planning on. But I do think cash corn is going to stay supported, probably mostly because of the basis.
What's your expectations for next week's WASDE report?
Yeah, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of changes when they say they're not going to factor anything from the phase one trade deal because there's too much uncertainty there. Yeah, I don't know that you're going to see a lot of adjustments. I could maybe see some demand adjustments for corn, but I don't know that you're going to see anything major happen on the demand perspective until you see that March quarterly stocks, where I think there could be a decent amount of disappearance on corn, especially because of some of these low test weight numbers.
You remain disappointed in the soybean market, I take it?
It's a little disappointing whenever I look out to November beans at 920. I just can't get too excited. It's pretty tough to say that either corn or beans is trying to buy acres. In fact, it looks like neither one of them want the acres. So, I don't know. Maybe that's what the market's trying to do is discourage production a little bit. But, your typical producer isn't going to get too excited about selling 920 beans. And so, I just don't know what this says at the time. I really don't want to get too aggressive. Maybe be a little more patient because I think that there's a chance we could see a little bit better days there. I just don't want to lock in, a loss or anything close to a loss before we've even planted a kernel.
You're disappointed in both corn and soybeans for new crop, and we are in that February crop insurance setting month. I said 920 beans, not really looking to buy acres. Corn acres at 390. Apparently the same thought process for you, although we've had 396, and I think $4, so it's not that far off the range.
Yeah, it's not far out of the range, and whenever I look at fertilizer prices and diesel fuel prices today, I can actually sell less corn and pay for those two inputs than what I could last year if we would have had 390. So, yeah, last year we were a dime higher for February. I'd sure like to see us work closer to that. And I was assuming that February you'd see some support come in here with the industry wanting to at least keep acreage at respectable levels. But it's not happening at the moment. So, yeah, I'm not a big seller at 390 level, but I do think at some point, 390 might not look bad if you have 96 million acres. I guess my game plan would be to sell 390 corn in that scenario and then wait until you see a 30-cent plus carry out to the July and roll it out to the July, because I think that's a pretty likely scenario if you have big production this year.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us for the day.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
And, of course, is Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. And Matt will join us at the All-Day Agricultural Outlook over the Beef House on Tuesday, the third day of March. That's not very far away now. You can, too. The cost is just $30. And for that $30, we'll feed you kind of twice, once in the morning with a coffee and a Beef House roll, and then again at the noon hour with a great Beef House lunch. And when I say it's great, it's really a good lunch. So you will want to be there to enjoy the lunch, the morning roll and coffee, and especially all the good information from the 16 analysts that we'll have on hand. You can find all the details online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can find also the way to register. You can just go online right now at willag.org and register for the All Day Ag Outlook. The other thing you can find is all kinds of information about the marketplace. We leave all of our daily programming up each and every business day, mostly in its entirety there. Of course, if you want to find it as a podcast, you can do that too on the Apple Podcast Store and Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the NPR One app, and even Spotify. However you want to listen to the ag programming from Illinois Public Media, please take the time, and thank you so very much.